things to do, you know what I mean? Let me send all this information to the beautiful lady. I hope she had the information. 684-8199. Bear with me. Okay, folks? You know what? Let me just call up back Nicholas and we can play some more. Nicholas, where you there? My guess, she's there. I was a bit worried because Drew said, who is the controller of the Zoom? Did you send? And of course, you know, the old man can't remember everything. But I see one of my favorite singers looking back at me. And guess what? I'm happy. Once again, folks, pleasant good afternoon to you. And on the Zoom, did you get your Zoom yet to see this charming lady? The Zoom is 801-684-8199, and the code is CKUT, capital letters. And let me get rid of this music. I don't want to hear no music now. Let me say hello to Carlene Davis Cowan. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. Giving God thanks in every step of the way.
Yes.
How are you?
Yes, you know, every step of the way. And I got to play this song because every time I hear it, I say, whoa, I think she's talking to me. And this is... Even my Rasta brethren said the drumming alone made him want to listen. Carlene Davis. I'm so pleased to see you. You don't know.
Jehovah is your name.
Oh God.
Jehovah is your name. Jehovah is your name. Jehovah is your name. Mighty warrior, great in battle. Jehovah is your name.
One of the finest singers. The island of Jamaica has produced.
Battle, Jehovah is your name. Jehovah.
At times when things are rough and bad, I like to listen to this. I'm going to introduce you to someone with a voice stands tall.
Jehovah is your name.
That comforts the mind.
Jehovah is your name.
Ah, yes. Let me say hello to Carlene Davis Cowan. How are you, my dear?
I am very well. I'm giving thanks in spite of all the challenges that the world is facing.
Ah, tell me about it.
In the midst of it, I just keep saying, God, I thank you. Thank you that I'm breathing, that I have life, that we are breathing. And
yes.
We have life and we can come together even in this way, even though the distance is between us,
mm-hmm.
we can still interact this way.
Whereabouts are you right now?
I am in Kingston, Jamaica, in my studio at home.
Kingston, Jamaica, where it's sunny outside, I'm sure.
It is now dusk. It's getting dark, and you know, it's getting cool because it's getting closer to Christmas.
Sure, getting cool.
This is upon us.
You know, one of the things I want to take you back. I want to take you back. Give me and my listeners, you know what I mean? Tell us about your youth, where you were born. I'm sure they're interested to know. What part of Jamaica were you from?
Ah, yes. I'm a country girl, you know. Mm-hmm. Country girl. I was born in the foothills of Bullhead Mountain. And those of you who know Bullhead Mountain,
mm-hmm.
it's there in Clarendon.
Yes.
And I grew up in a little district called Colonel's Ridge.
Ah.
A very rich community where people like Michael Holden's mom was born,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's Clarendon where people like Freddie McGregor, mm-hmm. Millie Small, and mm-hmm. Ernest Wilson that just mm-hmm. passed, I mean, Barrington Levy, we can name them. We're all from Clarendon, but
yep.
I'm further up in the hills. They're on the flat side of Clarendon. I'm way up in the hills where it's breezy and a lot of rivers and springs, you know.
You know, I got to tell you, Carlene, I work with Carreras at one point, and we sold cigarettes up in that area. Craveney, to be exact. So please don't condemn me. I'm begging. But anyway, folks, in case you don't know what she just said, it's one of the beautiful greenest. I don't know if it's still the same way, but it's beautiful.
It's still very rural.
Nice.
And you know, there are still people who migrated, a lot of people returning and building there, but it's still a very quiet community.
Now,
and, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so you were born in Colonel's Ridge, and how did the singing career start? How the singing thing? Did you sing up there? I mean, late at night. What else is there to do but sing?
What else is there to do? We didn't have a television at home,
mm-hmm.
but there were people who, you know, especially in the little town where you go shopping, in the square, as we would call it, when you live in rural Jamaica, you go to the square, where there's, you know, the main shop where you get all your groceries. And if those who are into drinking rum, the bar is there, the post office is there, the shoemaker is there, the tailor is there, the dressmaker is there. So that's where you'd gather for activities. And, there was a television in one of those places. So whenever there are special events, especially holiday times, family, all of us, my parents, my grandparents, we'd all meet out there with the neighbors and chill.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how we were able to watch TV and capture what's going on around the world. And then, of course, you had your radio at home, and you could, where my grandparents' property is, there's a height where I could hear music coming from Cuba to show
wow.
you how high up.
I believe that because I lived in Maypen for a while, and we could put up pick up a station in Cuba. Didn't understand a word they said, but the music was nice.
Into our channel, our JBC or RGR, it would break in, and you'd hear the lovely Cuban music pumping. And of course, my granddad lived in Cuba for a while,
so he loved it.
And so he was an avid musician, so he came back with a cello, violin, saxophone, and a clarinet. And
whoa.
Of course, he also had a guitar. So he was one of those persons that would provide music for the community whenever there were gatherings, you know, the weddings.
Is that where Carlene Davis started from? Don't think I'm disrespecting your marriage, but in this section, you're Carlene Davis.
Sure. I mean, definitely. Actually, it's really Sinclair. Sinclair is really my maiden name.
Whoa.
So those who are from that neck of the woods, that's something new for you guys. That's where, you know.
Very new to me.
Yes. And so my grandparents, the Sinclairs and the Rooms family came together. And that's how I came about. And both sides of the family, my grandparents were into music.
So
music was always around us as children growing up.
As a kid growing up, you loved the music. I could tell you something that would surprise you too. My other half of my parents is Sinclair from Christiana, but we will leave this.
Ouch. Well, it is very possible that there's a connection there, because it's just there's those in West and Savlamar,
Murray
people, right? They're Sinclairs, and then so it's connected. We're all interconnected.
Of course, Jamaica. That's what it was. Anyway, let me move on. So you were in until what age?
I migrated to England at age 14.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did 2 years. I was in my second year of Clarendon College when I migrated. My parents migrated ahead of us, and we stayed with our grandparents. So there are five siblings. My eldest brother went up first. Then my second brother went up, and then the last three of us. We went all in one. I didn't want to go. I wanted to stay in Jamaica. I didn't want to leave my grandparents because
I hear you
so much.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually my parents says, nope, you're coming, you're coming, you're coming. So I said, okay then. And went to England, and music just kept following me. I could not escape it. Growing up in Jamaica, my grandparents would always, and my parents, have me sing. So I would volunteer myself for church and Sunday school and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever members community came together and people visited our homes, of course I became the entertainer. I sing for them, man, sing. And so I got to enjoy presenting myself before
an audience. Did you sing anything like this? What did you sing then?
Well, there was a very popular song that I heard my Sunday school teacher singing it once, and I took it from her, and that became my anthem while I was in Jamaica and even when I migrated to England as a teenager. It's called, If You Should Remember the Books of the Bible, You'll Place Them in Order. As they should be. Wow. You have Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus and Numbers, Deuteronomy and Joshua. He wrote them all. So I would say.
Whoa! That voice has not changed an ounce. Oh my God.
So that was my theme song. And when I went to England as a teenager, I would get drawn up for it in church through my brothers, you know, and those the people that we got to know, and they knew that, hey, my sister sings, you know, as a high school student. So amazing.
I can't believe that. Amazing is right. Amazing, the word you just use, is totally right, because believe you me that your voice hasn't changed an octave, has it?
I believe, you know. It's like I sensed you were going to ask me that question. And I was thinking back, and I said, God, you know, there's a scripture says, the spirit is willing, but mm-hmm. the flesh is weak.
Right.
You know, so I make every effort to kill flesh so that the spirit of God will remain and potent in my walk. And also as it relates to my physical being, because, you know, without without a good body, when I say a healthy body, mm-hmm. Jamaicans would say healthy body, mm-hmm. without a healthy body, you can't finish your assignment. You can't fulfill the calling on your life. You can't finish purpose. Mm. So I make every effort to eat right, to get a good night's rest. I'm not one of those persons that burns the candle on both ends, you know.
All right.
Ever since.
Good. And now you say you left Jamaica at a tender age of 14. You spent how many years in England?
I did about seven. I finished high school, went on to college, started working. And during that whole time, I was doing music. I dabbled in music during my high school years.
You were in a band in England. I played guitar and all that. Tell me about it.
It was a little three-piece band. What happened is my dad had a friend who knew of this little three-piece combo at this pub.
Oh.
My dad's friend said to him, because my dad, you know, I don't know how you do it in Canada these days, but early years, because there were no barbershops around for Caribbean people, so people just each other's hair.
Yes.
So my dad would cut his friend's hair, and his friend would come and cut. So he said to him one day, you know, there's a combo that plays at the pub called Jack of Both Sides. It was his pub, and he
Jack
said,
of Both
they're looking
Sides.
For a singer. They're looking for a singer. I was still in high school, and my dad introduced me to the group. It was a group of older guys, married men, and you know, but this was what they did. They were professionals, and they brought me in to do my audition. And let me tell you, I'll never forget that audition. I trembled like a leaf. You know, like the back of my thighs.
Oh, God!
It was like jelly.
This is funny. I know exactly what you say because I'm trembling talking to one of my favorite singers. You know, trust me, one of my favorite. I'm as nervous as hell, but I'm feeling my way out. So you spent how many years? 7 years in England, right?
And I moved to Canada. And I did.
You know, I met you when you came to Canada. I emceed a show, and you were on that show along with Ernest Smith, I think, right here in Montreal.
Was it at Algonquin?
I can't remember exactly, but I know for sure it was in Montreal or something like that. But I met Carlene Davis, and I said, wow, this is one of my scenes. I hope your husband isn't listening. I know he is because he's like me. But go ahead.
Man, I don't remember meeting you, but I'm sure we met because I remember those dates that we did in Toronto. I mean, in Montreal with Ernie and I.
Yes.
It was really great experience. I remember it was the middle of winter. Am I correct about that?
You're totally right. It was January the 17th or something like that.
Right.
And when I said, wow, this woman could sing, boy, I enjoyed listening to her. And because your voice is a natural progression. It's not one of those that you have to pull up out of some far place to sing. You sing naturally.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, there's another reason to, you know, I'm one of those persons. Like, I love, like, you think of Minnie Riperton.
Mm.
And she would take those high notes. Well,
that's one of my favorite singers.
If I sang songs like that, or even Whitney, or any of those singers that will belt, I find my key. I'm not going to try and sing it in Whitney's key Riperton's key, because, hey, I have my range is my range.
Right.
And so that's a way to protect your vocal cords, as not to try and...
I firmly believe that. I met an Englishman many years ago in Jamaica because I tried to sing too. I'm not too good at it, but I tried to sing. And he says, sing in your key. Don't sing in my key. And his name was Thomas Jones, Tom Jones. And yes, I had the pleasure of emceeing a show at the Carib Theater and introducing him. Thanks to Running Nasrali. And Byron Lee.
Ronnie Nasrallah's production, right?
Yes. I had the pleasure
Tommy
of...
Tommy did a lot of work with him as well.
Your Tommy did a lot of work with a lot of people because I want him on by himself. I don't want nobody to influence him. Him coming on this program, I want to interview him because he knows and he's been there with everything happening in music in Jamaica. So,
That's right.
All right. So now that we've come to Canada, what was it like in Canada?
Well, it was very exciting for me. I mean, I found myself doing the rounds, doing all the audition, doing all the talent shows that I could, you know, that exist. I would go through the newspaper. I mean, not like today when, you know, you have all these online reality shows and America's Got Talent The Voice, none of that. So for me to get my foot wet in the circuit, I just did a lot of talent shows.
Right.
Some I won, some I didn't, but then I got to meet people, owners of nightclubs and venues and musicians who are currently doing the circuit, and eventually they would call me and say, listen, we're auditioning for a singer. Are you available? And that's how I got started and started to meet the people in the music industry in and around Toronto.
Good.
You know, and so before I started doing reggae, I was really doing pop music, especially in England, of course, and going into Canada. It was really, you know, the top 20. You'd be prepared to do the top 10, top 20 hits. And, of course, the R&Bs and the rock and roll sound and, you know, Tutti Frutti, oh, Rudy.
You know, believe you me, I know exactly what you're talking about, because we had a little band in Jamaica and we did a tourist trade at the various hotels. So we sang everything that was North America. Yes.
It was great training ground.
Right. Yeah. So you stayed in Canada for how long?
I did 10 years and then but while I was
God, you make it sound like it was a prison sentence. Oh, I did 10 years. Come on. I spent 10 years in Canada and I enjoyed it and I went.
Yeah, man. It was great. Glorious 10 years. Training ground for me. So
good.
I never forget that experience. You know, learning the ropes of the industry, the business of music, being a part of the music, the Federation of Musicians, you know, being a member and understanding our position as musicians, you know, to be the best so we can be as we represent a people.
Good.
You know?
Right.
And did my first recording while in Toronto in reggae. In other words, in those days, we would come to Jamaica. The producers would come to Jamaica and get the rhythms done by the studio musicians here in Jamaica. Then they'll carry the tracks back to Canada, and then I will voice it at a recording studio in Toronto. So that's how I did my first singles, which was like leaving on a jet plane. That was it, you know, and Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow?
Wow.
Songs like that.
Wow.
And then, of course, as I moved along and I started having my own band that I worked with, doing the circuit. On weekends now, I would find myself doing like the West Indian clubs, like after the hotel bars that we would do would shut down. We'd go and do the after-hour clubs. And then I would be working with another band, like a reggae band. So I would be balancing myself between mainstream music and reggae music. So it was a good way just to stay alive and earn an honest living, you know, because
nice.
In between that, I would also have a 9-to-5 job as well.
We all do.
Worked for Toronto Dominion Bank for years.
Before
I said that was it. I done. I'm going fully.
You're finished. You're finished. Done.
I couldn't keep up with it. I couldn't keep up with the daytime job and the nighttime music. Couldn't do it.
All right. This is another serious. In 1996.
Right.
You were diagnosed with breast cancer. And I want to know, I'm looking at you now, and I want to know, how did you face it? How did you stand up to it? How did you make it work for you? Because I'm reading something here, your Christian faith, that apparently came from grandma, made you understand that you have to face it, and you did. Talk to us about that.
Every time, you know, you share it, I just know it's just giving God glory every time that he has truly kept me for such a time as this, so I can share with my listeners that when it happened, clearly it was very scary, because up until that time, every time you hear that word, you know, there wasn't much going on out there, information to even tell you how to handle it. So when it hit home, it was like a tearjerker for me, because I said, God, am I going to live or am I going to die?
Did you listen to this song a lot?
Songs like that.
Cover Me. Cover me.
So that I could have faced the battle and trust him in the process.
You know, I listen to this song and I read my notes and I'm teared up, because what else could one do but ask the big man up there for just cover me?
Cover me under his blood.
Yes.
Because up until then, I guess my lifestyle was, I knew then that he is God, he's Lord of my life, but I did not portray that in 100%. It was like I was 1 foot in and 1 foot out. But when that diagnosis came, that was the turning point when I said, that's it, God, I will serve you. Use me as your vessel, a vessel that will bring honor to you. That was the turning point of my life. And once I did that, the healing process began. I did chemo, I did the surgery, I did all of that, not knowing whether it would, you know, take
yes,
me out.
Yes.
But I trusted God. I said, God, I'm going to serve you with all my heart. And look at what the Lord has done, that he would have allowed me to continue to use music as a vehicle to serve him, you know, as an evangelist, as a minister of the gospel.
And I have to let the people know, now we're going to change, because we're going to make you a big boss. We're gonna say, doctor. You know, before I go there, let me ask you, as a secular artist, how many albums have you recorded?
Well, I think I must have done over 15 secular albums.
Wow.
Some were compilations, of course, you know, but definitely. And then, of course, with the gospel, it is now, I've now done my 12th album. Yeah.
And you have found it's a freedom of expression, a freedom of feelings when you sing your gospel music.
It's when I recommitted my life and I started recording again and started writing songs. So I call them is love songs to God. Song freedom. You know, there was a freedom that came with it of expression. It's like I felt I've only just begun.
Carlene Davis Cowan, I could talk to you forever, man. Keep telling me these things, because I need to understand it, and now I'm getting the full grip of it. What was it, because of the breast cancer, why this happened? You found.
I believe it spoke volume. I said, God, it's like, because I had committed my life, you know, several times you go to the altar and you say, Lord, I commit my life to you, but did not take the time to study the word of God, to show myself approved, and be, so you find that you become flippant.
Yes.
In your walk.
Yes.
You know, but so when this thing happened, I say, God, I am through. I am going to serve you. And that means I have to study the word of God, apply myself.
Cover me.
Have the word in my heart, so that as the word of God says, David says, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I will not sin against you. So We all sin, but when we have the Word of God to back us up and to remind us that, hey, that what you did isn't right, you can say, God, forgive me. You can recognize where you have fallen and can, you know, dust yourself off and know that God has heard your cry and has forgiven you.
You know,
I didn't do that on a day-to-day basis. It was more like, you know, when you're desperate kind of thing, that's when you really cry out to God. And he is faithful to hear you anyway, anytime. But I said, God, I don't want to make a mockery of my walk with you.
Loving that. A mockery of my walk. Yes. And folks, and just in case you're wondering, she's an ordained minister with a PhD in pastoral counseling and a graduate of the Ron Kenology Praise Academy. Wow. Them is big thing, man. Doctor.
I wanted to really take the time out and prepare myself. So I don't take ministry of getting on a platform to sing. I take it serious, because when I open my mouth, it must impact the listeners that it is not Carlene, but is literally the Spirit of God that is flowing through me. You know, coming from a different stage where I was on a different stage where it was all about entertainment. I had to study and say, God, that so that this vessel now is now a renewed vessel, and I'm confident that God has restored me to be in that position.
You know, it sounds so magical what you're saying to me. But how does that do with family life? How does the husband take it? You have a beautiful daughter who is a singer, and I want to touch on one of her songs. How did they take it? Oh, she has changed. What? How did it work?
Well, the thing is, they were quite young, and so they have to follow mommy and daddy's instructions. Time to go to church. Wake up. You know, it's not. And so they were fine with it. But then they were missing. They missed some things. Mm-hmm. Like that, when we were always touring all over the world, and they're with us in the summertime. And, you know, they didn't quite understand why that wasn't happening like how it used to. But as they grew up, and the fact that they have mommy is with us.
Yes.
Because as they got older and they realized what had happened and the impact of it and how it could have been the other way around, they could have lost me.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
For them, it was a joy that I'm still here.
Yes.
That I'm still here. And I am glad that our lives, and it wasn't just my life, out of my experience, Tommy's life got turned around as well.
Nice. Sweet. Sweet.
Yes.
You know, I you're going to come back on this program in January, February, because there's so many things I want to talk to you about. But, you know, I'm getting old, and in my progression of getting old, I am trying to, get the young folks to understand what it's all about doing a program like this, talking to a person like you. And I have one in the back because he's doing the Zoom, but I want him and my co-host, who is off for a while, I want him to understand what he's a young guy, so he's going to ask you young questions, I would imagine.
No problem.
All right.
No
so
problem.
His name is Drew, D-R-U, Drew, and D-R-U, and he's from Barbados. So, Drew.
Hi, Carlene.
How are you?
I'm fine. It's a pleasure to meet you once again.
Once again?
I know the face. Yes, I'm saying I know this guy.
I know you know the face. And you know what? We're going to blame Nathan for you being late as one of our interviewers, because I've been drilling Nathan to get you and Naomi in for an interview for the longest time.
Leave Naomi alone.
But listen, it's... You know, timing is everything. God's timing is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And Naomi has been busy. releasing, because, you know, she just released a mixtape and there's some fabulous music on there. And she has this new song coming out in January. So that would be a good time to lock her in.
Can I just...
Drew, I'm
going to interfere on your time. Can I just touch a little bit of it, Naomi? You guys don't mind? Say, no, I don't mind.
No, we don't mind.
This is Naomi Coburn. She have the mother voice. Listen to this.
Fire is burning.
All right, I ain't playing no more. I'll wait. I ain't playing no more. You can rock till you drop, Mr. Drew. I ain't playing no more. That girl could sing, boy. Anyway, let me not interfere with you. Go right ahead, because, you know, go right ahead.
Yeah.
Let me drink my tea.
A little bit about your experience when you left Jamaica and went to England and then you came to Canada. You know what I mean? How did you think that was, how did that experience enhance your music ability?
Well, it was really doing the music I did in England. I was still in high school. So when I moved to Canada now, I was then a working girl. So it was exciting for me because I'm now in North America, you know, leave England and I'm now in North America. And it was like a whole new experience. And it was a lot of hard work trying to, you know, get my foot through the door, because nobody around me was involved in music, you know, whereas in England, I knew people in London, for example. So if I hadn't stayed in Canada, I would have gone back to England because I knew people in London, and the plan was for me to move from Reading, because I grew up in Reading, and go to London to really establish my career in music. But once I settled down and I started, you know, getting some gigs, I said, you know, let me stick around. And yeah, it opened a lot of doors for me. I mean, I met Babsy, Oliver Babsy Grange, Minister of Culture, Entertainment and Culture. She was in Canada working with, we shared earlier, it was Ernie Smith. She had Stranger Cold. She had a band called Bloodfire. There was who else? And Leroy Sybil. So she was really, at one point, she was running the industry in Toronto, you know, for the Caribbean music. And I had an opportunity to open for Police in Toronto.
Wow.
Yeah. And wow. I also opened for Peter Tosh when he was touring Canada. And he did Toronto and Montreal. I was on that lineup as well. And how I met Babsy now was I was doing an event for Easter for CBC television with Jeanette Brantley, is a Black American girl that living in Toronto. And she brought a group of singers together. And I was the only Caribbean person on that lineup, you know, and we're doing, and I chose to do Many Rivers to Cross as my song for the Easter celebration. And, you know, it just, Babsy came to the event and she said, my God.
Could I interfere a little bit here?
Huh?
Could I interfere a little bit here, Drew? Please pardon the old guy. Could you just sing the first two lines of Many Rivers to Cross? Because I always find that so. Anyway, sing it for me. Please, could you just sing
it? Well, just big up the maestro himself, Jimmy Cliff, for writing this song.
Yes.
He was such a great songwriter. He goes, many rivers to cross.
Oy.
Can't seem to find my way over.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so you're performing a lot in Canada, you're making your mark, you're going back and forth to Canada and Jamaica, doing lots of recordings. Tell us about that move when you decided now that, you know what, I'm going back to Jamaica.
I think because of my relationship with Babsy, she was leaving because she now got a position with when Eddie Ciago was now prime minister, and she got the position as director of Jamaica cultural development. And so I said, well, at least I know somebody solid in Jamaica that who would be able to get me around and introduce me to people, you know. And so I decided to visit, not to stay, just to pass through. So Ernie and I came down, and Babsy had a series of events for us to do around the island. And the more I did these engagements, I said, boy, it looks like this is it. I'm going to figure out how I can really just come home permanently. So at one point I had an apartment in Toronto, an apartment in Jamaica. And I said, no, I can't keep this up. I have to make a decision. But in the meantime, I was, you know, in the studio doing stuff, you know, and of course did my first Reggae Sunsplash because of being in Jamaica at that particular time. Bob was on tour in Europe, and Peter Tosh was the headliner for Reggae Sunsplash at the time, and it was held at Ronnie Williams Center, and I was asked to be on the lineup. And this would now be my first major event in Jamaica. And out of that, doors started opening up. People kept calling me all over the world, you know, New York City, all the, you know, the major diaspora city, to come and perform, you know. So that was an open door and say, you know what, it's time to settle down. And from there on, we did songs like, that's how Stealing Love on the Side happened, you know. Yeah.
Okay, so that Reggae Sunsplash.
Yes.
Something special happened on that Reggae Sunsplash. I'm not going to say what it is because you know what it is.
Something happened. Well, the only thing I can tell you that happened is that that album was nominated for a Grammy. It was a tribute to Bob Marley because by this time Bob had passed. I don't know if that's a special thing you're talking about, or is it because of my meeting Tommy? Is that it? I don't know.
No, it's not about that, because I listened to an interview where you said that you performed on the first night.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm not gonna say. I do my research.
Yes.
So I'm not gonna say. I'm gonna let you say.
Oh my goodness, that's right. I did the Wednesday night, and I got a call that they want me back on the Friday night, I think. And this is the first and only time that an artist repeated in one presentation of a Reggae Sunsplash. It just never happened, you know? And I was like, I was a newcomer to the whole thing. The only song I had, Harder They Come, I think, was doing very well, because I had recorded that version, a version of that Jimmy Cliff song as well, and that was doing very well. And also that song, Desperate Lover, you know that song by Bob Andy. That was one of my big hits out of Canada. As a matter of fact, that song was done with Sly and Robbie as the Revolutionaries. If you know that song, how do you feel when my baby's gone?
It's gone.
Yes, yeah. That was Sly and Robbie when they were part of the Revolutionaries. So keep going.
Yeah. And so tell us about Stealing Love now. You did Stealing Love, you know what I mean? And you changed your life. And you changed all the lyrics to that to Praising God. Tell us, how did that come about, changing up the song to Praising God?
Speaking of Barbados, I was called to do, you know, that big event in Barbados, Reggae Oshoks. It's a big event.
Yeah.
They usually have the
reggae
icon.
Reggae.
Right. Yeah. I was asked to minister, to sing. And of course, I going back in the archives and giving them songs like Old Friends Do, Stealing Love, It Must Be Love, Going Down to Paradise. So my musical director was in Barbados leading up to the event, and he said to me, Harleen, do you know which song they're using to promote you for the event? It's Stealing Love. And I said, but I don't sing that song anymore, and I don't plan to sing that song on the event. So when he came back to Jamaica and we went into rehearsals, we decided to use the rhythm and change the lyrics. So the night of the concert, I said, guys, I opened with a lot of my older hits. Winnie Mandela, Welcome Home, Mr. Mandela, It Must Be Love, all of that. And then as I was about to go into the gospel, I said to them, listen, I know since you last saw me on a platform like this, I have changed. God has done a new thing in my life. But here is a song that I know you love. I hope you enjoy this version. And as the rhythm started, may I tell you, the crowd ran to the front of the platform. You know, it was just so funny.
Christ held me in his arms and gave his love to me. Yeah, gave me my heart's desire. His love enfolds me. His love protects me, and I'm so thankful. Now I am his. If time would stand still and keep me here this way, you know what? Just being here with you. Lord knows you set my heart on fire, 'cause I know you're here. My body and soul belong to you. Lord, I'm so thankful that I
That's what we're talking about, from still in love to praising God.
Amen. What a transition.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Giving glory to God. And, you know, the funny thing is, having redone this song in this manner, people are now saying, oh, my God, I didn't realize that it was you who did the original. So it's bridging that gap, because, you know, it's bringing identity. And without being apologetic, there was a time when I didn't want to hear that song. But now when someone plays the original, I say it's important that people know that this is where I was and this is where I am today. And it's a foundation of how God has been using me, you know? And let's not be ashamed of what we have done then, because it was really a door opener for my career, you know? But now I can use it as a means to bring honor to God. And I say, Lord God, you're good.
God is good. And also, so tell me now about your connection with Nelson and Willie Mandela.
Whew. Well, I remember, if I can go back, I remember Tommy was on tour. I didn't do that Sunsplash tour with him that year, because I think Naomi was a baby. So I didn't go on that tour. But I remember him coming home with a book that says, a book written by Winnie Mandela, says, part of my soul left with him, something like that. And it was all about her experience marrying this man called Nelson Mandela. And no sooner they got married, he was thrown in jail because of his fight against apartheid and the struggles that she endured, just trying to stand up for truths and rights and justice, and the pain she faced, you know. And I said, oh my God. And Tommy came back with a bit of a song just from him reading the book while on tour. And when he brought the book home to me, I read it just like that. And we said, yeah, let's go in that studio and finish the song. And that's how we recorded the song. Because we were hearing about this apartheid thing, but it was all about Winnie, because she was the only person we were able to see as the face of the fight against apartheid. And as a female we thought it was a very important point to promote, that, you know, that she recognized that when she married that man, she was marrying into that system of what he believed. And that's why she was able to stand against all odds, you know, being thrown in and out of jail. There were so many charges against that woman. I don't think she lived long enough they had to just drop them eventually, I guess, because they found every reason to condemn her.
Yeah. You know,
and of course, you asked me about Nelson. When Nelson was released from prison, we were in England. And when we heard it on the news, my God, we just got so excited, because we just never thought we'd live to see him released.
Yeah.
I'm sure the world thought that, because it seemed as if he had been there so long, you know, you just never expect to see this man. And when he was released, we were in the studio in England. And I remember we just sat down and wrote this track, Welcome Home, Mr. Mandela. And that song became the theme song for his tour of the United States when he toured New York City. And of course, when he came to Jamaica, that was a song that was used to bring him into the arena, into the National Stadium, which almost brought riot, because people were just so excited to see him. They had to rush me on that platform to sing the song just to avert any major issue in that stadium. It was amazing. And it was great. I had a chance to meet them. And I remember she whispered in my ear and she said, it was songs like yours that kept us through those dark nights when we weren't even allowed to play the music. They would put their little transistor radio to their heads in their lockdown times, you know, just to motivate them. Yeah, so awesome.
Yeah, you know, like Howard said before, you know, your history is so rich that we're going to have to get you back on the program. For those who's just joining us, CKUT 90.3 FM, we're talking to Dr. Caroline Davis Cohen. You know, I got a few more questions because we got about 10 more minutes. Yes. And I'm going to ask you, how does it feel now that you see your life come full circle? Living in Canada, going back to Jamaica, and I remember the last time you were here, you tell us about Naomi and how she wants to get into the industry, and she's living in Toronto and she wants to move back to Jamaica. So it's like your life is living over again. How does that make you feel to see that full circle?
It's a joy, because I just never thought that she would have pursued this path. I got her involved in many productions. As a matter of fact, maybe I have about 4 albums where she has collabed on me as a child. Yeah. And wherever I was doing events, you know, I would get her to grab the mic when it's convenient. And she loved it. But she said to me, Mom, I want to do broadcasting, because she has her master's in radio and television broadcasting, you know. And so I thought this is what she was going to do. So after she finished and did 2 bouts in Toronto at Ryerson, and each time she came back home, the last time she said, Mom, that's it, you know, I'm going to do music. And I said, my eyes popped, but I said, well, I'm not surprised, but I'm surprised at the same time, you know. And now when I look back, I said, you know, it's important that she follows her heart, because, you know, when you look back, there's no one to blame but yourself if you didn't do it, you know. So... And she's given it 120%. She's at it. She's writing. She's producing. I mean, many times we're in the studio and she's recording me. She's behind the computer, you know, behind the board, getting me to voice the songs, or, you know, and it's just amazing. We just did a collab of Santa Claus River Come
Santa
to the
Claus, Ghetto. Yeah, I was about to ask you about that, because I saw it. I think I see she posts something with you two on TikTok. One of our people inside of the Zoom said, you're aging like fine wine. But, you know, I mean, it's like when I saw that TikTok with you and Naomi, it's like, you know, I mean, you guys look like sisters.
Thank you so much. I'm encouraged to hear that. I try my best to stay relevant. And I think when you're walking in your passion and you're walking in a path that you know, you wake up every morning and you're doing what you enjoy doing. I think that helps to keep you in the now, you know, yeah. And of course you're eating right and your mind is saying, this is my life and I'm enjoying what I do. You know, okay. I can't imagine if I was in a 9-to-5, how I would look today, because maybe it would have so stressed me out that nobody would recognize.
You know, I'm sorry to interrupt. You guys seems to having a lot of fun. But it's 5 minutes to the hour of 7 o'clock. We got to get off here at 7 o'clock. Ooh. And Carlene Davis Cowan. You know, I listen to you talking to the old guy. I listen to you talking to the young guy. And I'm saying to myself, wow, what a woman. She's got to be back. No question about it. No question.
I need to be back in Montreal in the flesh, guys. So y'all need to figure it out.
As soon as this thing eases up, you will be here in the flesh. You will be here, and I'll be putting your husband to introduce you on stage, because there's no better. I would be kidding myself. There's no better. All right, Tommy Cowan.
Naomi live in Montreal.
Yes.
Can you imagine that?
Woo. Yeah. So, Caroline, I just gotta tell you, I'm not gonna contact Nathan anymore. We're gonna contact you when we're ready to have Naomi in for an interview, and I'm gonna ask you one more question. Okay, normally I...
Oh, God, Drew, ease up, man. It's fine. Yeah.
But I'm just going to ask you one question. Who is Caroline Naomi? Who is Caroline Davis?
You don't want to know.
In everyday life.
Everyday life, I'm just...
Beautiful.
Love to love everybody.
Yes.
I'm a wife.
Yes.
I'm a mother. I'm a singer. And I love the Lord. And I'm passionate about people. I love people. I love people. Because people who need people are the happiest people in the world.
Carlene Davis, thank you, my friend.
Drew, I love that, Drew. I love it.
And Drew, thank you for pressuring Carlene. And I just want to say, I got to go because, you know, the radio station kick us off. At 7
Tell
o'clock.
Tell them they need to give you 2 hours when I'm on, you see?
You got 2.5. Bye-bye, Carlene.
And God bless you, Santa Claus. Children of the ghetto. Carlene Davis, Naomi Cowan, DJ Trinity. Santa Claus.
Aye.
Do you ever come to the ghetto?
Do you ever come to the ghetto?
Santa Claus.
Thank you, Carlene Davis. Love you. Tommy Cowan, no worry. Your wife's still dead, but we still love her. Galang.
All year long, we've been beaten down. Montreal, looking forward. God bless you.
God bless you too, my dear. Drew, come on for the people in radio.
Santa Claus. Do you ever come to the ghetto?
I gotta let this run. Remember, whatever you do, don't let your actions be the pain of others, all right?
Santa Claus.
2 minutes to go.
Come to the ghetto.
Bye-bye, Montreal. Thank you, Drew.
Santa Claus.
Thank you, Carlene Davis. You're a charmer.
Yeah. Hey, yo, check this out. This is Flavor Flav, and you listening to C. Hey, yo, check 1, 2. This is Flavor Flav, Public Enemy. You listening to K. Yo, check 1, 2. This is Flavor Flav, Public Enemy. You listening to CKUT and the place to be from the bottom to the TOP.
Yeah, perfect, man. Thanks a lot, man. Keep doing that, real heads. Keep listening.
Hey, good evening and welcome to another hot edition of the Masters of Work show on CKUT 90.3 FM with DJs Mike Mission and Ken Dog, featuring Dwayne Wayne, rocking the latest and classics in hip-hop, R&B, and dancehall remixes, and all that, no doubt. Every Saturday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., www.ckut.ca for that live stream. You can always email us at mike.mission@hotmail.com or kendiggy@hotmail.com, no doubt, with your latest clean music as MP3s if you're an artist. Also for shoutouts, requests, info, etc., and all that, no doubt.
Are we on the air? Tell you, Montreal was great. Big up Black Mob, Munga, AZ, Jesse Walker, Peaches, Pepe, the real Sabat, my man DJ Smokey, Keith and Karen, Chops, DJ Gems, Star Q, Ox, Earthquake, Sound Crew, FreshTV.ca. I got that hype for you. Where's the masters at work, Ken Dog and Mike Mission? I'm the kid famous. If you like listening to what's the hottest in the city, we getting busy. Adjust your radio, it's Mike Mission and Ken Diggy. 7 and 9, letting all of Quebec know. Hip-hop.